Thank you, Max, for leading us in song as we raised our voices up in praise to our Almighty God. Thank you, David, for the good prayer, brother. And thank you, Alvin, for giving us the reading of the scripture there from Matthew chapter 6. And as we just learned there from Matthew chapter 6, we learned that we sometimes find in the scriptures where illustrations of nature are used to impart spiritual application and understanding. That's exactly what Jesus is doing there in Matthew chapter 6, isn't he? And there in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 26, when Jesus said, "Look at the birds of the air," and in verse 28 when he said, "Consider the lilies of the field," he was using nature as a way to impart spiritual application and understanding in regard to placing emphasis upon God's care and the need not to worry. With that thought in mind, and with a recent study that we had in our adult auditorium class there with members of one another, and one of the illustrations that was used to emphasize the need for us to care for one another, the illustration was used in regard to geese and some of the application that we can take from them to apply to us as members of one another. That got my mind to thinking about some valuable lessons that can be gained when we look to the birds of the air. And as Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 26, to look at the birds of the air, we're going to take some time to do that this morning. Specifically, time to look at geese. And we're going to spend some time this morning taking some lessons in regard to geese and their characteristics and how that they can demonstrate some lessons of application for us that can be applied to us as Christians in a relationship to one another in the church. So as we consider the birds of the air, we can learn that geese share the workload with one another. I venture to say that many of you have seen geese fly in the air in a V formation. Have you ever wondered why those geese fly in that V formation? You ever wondered about that? You see, it is said that geese fly in a V formation to create uplift in a greater flying range. And when a lead goose gets tired, it rotates back and another goose flies point. Simply put, we learn that by instinct, geese share the workload among their flock. And just as geese share the workload among their flock, we as members of this local body of Christ need to likewise do the same. We need to understand, brethren, as members of one another, the need for us to likewise share in the workload of this local church. We need to realize that just as every goose of the flock is needed and useful to that flock, every member of this local body of Christ is needed and useful to this body. The Apostle Paul emphasizes this lesson for us there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want you to read with me, beginning there in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 12. There Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into the one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, in these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. Simply put, the inspired apostle is informing brethren of the fact that they are all needed and useful in order for the body to function properly. And we need to be mindful of the fact that as members of this local flock of God, we are all needed and useful. There are things that we all can do to help this body function to its fullest potential. And we need to be mindful that just as each goose is needed in its own flock, each member of this local flock of God is needed. You see, as geese are interdependent on each other, believe it or not, brethren, we too are interdependent upon each other. We need each other. You see, there are some abilities that you have that I don't have. There may be some abilities that I have that you don't have. And the point is we all don't have the same talents or the same abilities. But there are still various needs of this congregation that requires certain abilities to perform those needs. And that is why we are interdependent upon each other. That's why we need each other. We all need to be mindful that there is something that we all can do and provide to this local work. There's something we all can do. There's something each and every one of us can provide to the work of this local church. And we need to be as the geese of the air who shared the workload in the work of this local church. You see, too often I hear about brethren who get burned out. I hear about brethren who are getting burned out. And you want to know why there are a lot of brethren who are getting burned out in their labor for the Lord? You want to know why that is? It's simply because of the fact that their other brethren won't help out. I want you to think about that for a moment. You see, there are too many places where there are just a specific group of people who are pulling the majority of the weight. There's too many times when there are just a small group of brethren who are taking on the majority of the workload and pulling the wagon, while others just want to sit in that wagon and tag along for the ride. We need to be mindful of the need, brethren, to do our part. We need to be mindful of the need to share in the workload of this local church. And by doing so, not only is this local work here at Belleville going to function to its full potential, but it's also going to prevent some of those go-getters, so to speak, it's going to prevent them from getting burned out. We need to be mindful of the need to share the workload, just as geese share the workload. And we need to be mindful of the need to do our part in this local work, realizing the benefits of doing so. The Apostle Paul makes us aware of the benefits of every part doing its share there in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 16. And there Paul penned, the effective working by which every part does its share causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You see that? Paul is telling us that when every part does its share, It's going to benefit. It's going to cause growth for that body in the building up of itself in love. So let's be mindful of that, brethren. And just as geese share the workload with one another, may we likewise share the workload with one another here at Belleville. But another valuable lesson that we can learn from geese is geese encourage one another. Just last night, I heard a flock of geese fly over the house, and as they were flying in the air, I heard them honking. I heard them honking as they did a flyby. Have you ever wondered why geese honk at one another when they're in the air? You ever wondered? You see, it has been suggested by those who have studied geese that geese honk at one another when flying in formation as a way to encourage one another to keep up their speed. Simply put, geese are honking at one another to encourage one another to keep on going, to keep on keeping on. And just as geese seek to encourage one another as they fly in formation, we as Christians need to likewise seek to encourage one another to stay the course and to keep the faith. Simply put, brethren, just as the geese encourage each other to keep on keeping on, we too need to be encouraging one another to keep on keeping on. And we need to understand that there's power in encouragement. Are you aware of that? You see, we often make the statement there's power in prayer. And indeed, there is power in prayer. But I'm also here to tell you this morning, brethren, there's power in encouragement. And another thing we need to be mindful of is we all need encouragement. I need it. You need it. Each and every one of us need encouragement. We need to be encouraged to keep the faith, to stay the course, to stay in formation. You see, we all recognize as Christians that not every day is sunshine and rainbows. We all realize that there are some difficult times that come along our way. There are some times that sometimes test our faith. There are some times when some may stumble and may lose faith. And it is because of those discouraging, difficult times that can come along our way that we need to be mindful of the need to be an encouragement to one another. We need to continue to strongly urge one another to hang in there, to stay the course, and to keep the faith. It's interesting to note that statistics show that in groups where there is much encouragement, the production and the completion of the task is much greater. Think about that. I venture to say some of you probably can relate to that. Some of you may have jobs where you work in a factory, and some of your rate of pay may be on the rate of product that you put out. Some of you realize that in order to meet that rate, sometimes you got to be like those geese in the air, and you got to honk at one another. You got to encourage one another. Hey, buddy. Pick it up. Speed up. Keep moving. We got to get this done. We got to complete our task. And the same thing's necessary for us as Christians. If we're going to effectively complete our task and be effective in our walk as a Christian, we need to be continually encouraging one another to keep on keeping on. The importance of this can be emphasized throughout the Scriptures, but we learn there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. We learn there where Paul instructed the church in Corinth to comfort or to encourage each other and to edify one another, just as you also are doing. You see, the inspired apostle, he understood the need for brethren to be encouraged by one another. And his instruction to the church in Thessalonica was for them to continue to encourage and build up one another. We learn there in Hebrews chapter 3 and in verse 13, where the Hebrew writer said, exhort, that is, encourage one another daily. Think about that for a moment. You see the importance of encouragement there? The Hebrew writer didn't say just do it when you come together on the first day of the week, but he said do it daily. His instruction was to encourage one another daily while it is called today. And he tells us why that's important when he says, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Again, the deceitfulness of sin is all around us. It's all around us. We deal with temptations of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. We deal with those things each and every day. And that's why the Hebrews writer emphasized the need for us to continually, to daily, be an encouragement to one another. Lest any of us are deceived by the deceitfulness of sin. You see, brethren, we need to encourage one another. Just as the geese, the birds in the air, encourage one another. And as they purpose their honking to encourage each other, let us purpose our words to encourage each other. Simply put, we need to make sure that our honking is encouraging. We need to be sure, brethren, that the things that we are saying, the words that we are saying, are purposed to build one another up in Christ. Unfortunately, there are too many today who purpose their words to tear others down rather than to build others up. And we need to be mindful of the need to purpose our words to encourage each other. This instruction is given for us there in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 when the inspired apostle Paul wrote, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Let that marinate. Paul specifically said, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. It's important to note that corrupt speech in this context would be speech that is in contrast to words that edify. It would be speech that is in reference to words that tear down, words that weaken, words that dishearten others. And here the apostle is specifically instructing Christians to let no corrupt word, let no word that tears down, weakens, or disheartens someone proceed out of your mouth. Again, let that sink in. Take note of that, brethren. Realize that as brethren, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to purpose our words for one thing. And that is to build up one another in Christ. Simply put, what the apostle is telling us here is if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. Brethren, some of us need to take note of that. Some of us need to be mindful of the need to sometimes just keep our mouth shut. There are times when we let our mouths get the best of us. There are times when we speak before we think. And we need to be mindful of the need to always think before we speak. Before you let a word proceed out of your mouth, ask yourself, Is this word that I'm about to say going to tear somebody down? Is this word that I'm about to say going to dishearten someone? Is this word that I'm about to say going to weaken someone? That's a good rule of thumb that each and every one of us would be do good to put into practice. And we need to be mindful of the need to build one another up in Christ rather than to tear one another down. Realizing that that is our goal. The goal of each and every one of us as Christians here today is to inherit a home in heaven. And as the geese honk at one another to encourage one another to fulfill their task, we need to purpose our words to encourage one another to keep on keeping on. But another lesson that we can learn from geese is we can learn that geese demonstrate their care for one another. It's interesting to point out that researchers have noticed that when a goose becomes sick or wounded, some of the healthier geese will stay back with the sick or wounded goose to help it and to protect it until it either dies or is able to fly again. Maybe some of you have seen that. I've recently seen that. Not too long ago, I saw a goose that was wounded, laying out in the field, and there were two other geese beside it. And I got to thinking to myself, I wonder what those other geese are doing. What are those other geese doing? And then I did this lesson. Now I understand what those geese were doing. Those geese were demonstrating their care for one another. And just as geese are there for one another and demonstrate their care for one another, even in difficult times, times when another goose may be wounded or sick, we likewise need to be a people who demonstrate our care for one another. You see, we need to be mindful of the need to always be there for one another in both the good times and in the bad times. We need to be there for one another when times are good and when times are difficult. And when I think about that, I cannot help but to think about the instruction of the inspired apostle as we learn there in Romans chapter 12 and verse 15. Remember what Paul said there? Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Simply put, Paul's saying, you be there for one another in the good times and in the difficult times. We need to be mindful, as we learned a few moments ago there from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 26. As Paul said, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Think about that. You see, just as geese stand by one another, just as they support one another and they care for one another, when times are difficult, when another goose is suffering, we also need to be a people who demonstrate the same care for one another. We too need to be a people who stand by one another, support one another, and demonstrate our care and express it to one another. We need to suffer when another member of this congregation suffers. We need to suffer with it. When another member of this congregation is honored, we need to rejoice with it, with them. We need to be mindful of that. Sometimes it's harder to rejoice with those who are rejoicing than it is to suffer with those who are suffering. But we need to be mindful of the need to both be there for one another in the good times and in the difficult times. And as ye seek to bear one another's burdens, we too, brethren, need to also seek to bear one another's burdens. We learn about the need to do that there in Romans chapter 15 and verse 1. And there Paul says, "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves." Simply put, what Paul is saying is those Christians who are strong in the faith, mature in the faith, they need to bear with the weaknesses of those who may not be as strong or mature in the faith. When I thought about that, I thought about what we talked about at the beginning of this point, about how when a goose of a flock becomes sick or injured, that weak goose, it's surrounded by those stronger geese, those healthier geese, who are there to help bear the burden of that weak goose. And brethren, the same point of application can be gained for you and I as brothers and sisters in Christ. There are some who are more mature in the faith. There are some who are strong in the faith. And there are some who are new to the faith. Some who are still babes in Christ. Some who do not have quite the understanding or the knowledge of those who are more mature in the faith. And it's because of that, sometimes they may do things or they may have some questions that some of us who are more mature in the faith may not understand. But we need to realize the need to bear with the scruples of the weak. That responsibility is put on who? The strong. The stronger brethren are given that responsibility to bear with those who are weak. And we need to understand that responsibility. And we need to be mindful of the need to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, as we see in Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 2. You see, as Christians, we must understand the need to put away our selfishness, our self-centeredness, and we need to understand the need to help bear the infirmities of the weak. We need to realize that there may be times where we may have to deal with some inconveniences to be there to help another brother or sister bear their burden. But we need to understand that just as geese are willing to inconvenience themselves, just as they're willing to take some time to bear with the burden of another goose, we too need to be mindful to take time and make time to help bear the burdens of our brothers and sisters who are in need. And just as geese demonstrate their care for one another, let us be a people who demonstrate our care for one another. But another valuable lesson that we can learn from geese is we can learn that geese benefit from the mutual edification and help of another. It has been said that when a goose falls out of formation, it will suddenly feel the drag of flying alone. Therefore, it will quickly get back into formation and take advantage of the lifting power of the other birds in front of it. You see, simply put, geese, they depend upon the help of one another to get where they want to go. Just as geese depend upon one another to get where they want to go, and just as they benefit from the help of one another, we too need to understand the benefit of the mutual edification and help of one another. It's important to note that generally the concept of edification in the New Testament is in reference to mutual edification. And this involves building up one another in Christ. And it also requires the equal participation of each member. Are you aware of that? Are you aware of the fact that generally when the Scriptures talk about edification, it's in reference to mutual edification? in reference to that of building up those in Christ, and that it requires the participation of each member. We talked about that briefly a few moments ago there from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The fact that each and every member of this body is needed and useful. And in order for this local body to properly function to its fullest potential, it's going to require the equal participation of each member. This lesson can be seen as well there in Ephesians chapter 4. Go back with me, if you will, there to Ephesians chapter 4. And there in Ephesians chapter 4, we see beginning in verse number 7, where Paul says, "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." Dropping down there to verse 11, he then goes on to say, "And he himself, that being Christ, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." Why? What was the reason for that? Well, notice verse number 12. "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." You see that? The reason why there were some that were given to be pastors or elders and evangelists and teachers. Those reasons was for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. He goes on to say there in verse 13, "Till we all come to the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." There it is. Here we see that mutual edification, it involves the building up of one another in Christ. And it requires the participation of each member of that body. And as we talked about earlier, there is benefits when we all work together and supply our share to the work of the body. Brethren, just as geese benefit from the mutual edification and help from one another, let us also seek to engage in the edification and help of one another. You see, as we talked about earlier, just as geese need the edification and help of one another to help them get to where they want to go, we too need to recognize the need for us to edify and help one another get to where we want to go. Because as we mentioned earlier, the goal of each and every one of us as Christians is to inherit an eternal home in heaven. That's where we want to go. That's our destination. And we need to help care for one another and edify one another in order to help us all get there together. You see, we need to be mindful of the need to pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify one another. Romans 14, verse 19. We need to always be looking to do those things by which we may be building one another up in Christ. And we need to also remember the need for us to always stay in formation with those headed where we want to go. You see, we talked about earlier about how when a goose falls out of formation, it suddenly feels the drag of flying alone. It feels the burden of that. So what's it do? It quickly gets back in formation. Unfortunately, there are some times when Some of our own brethren get out of step. They get off that straight and narrow path that leads to life, and they enter onto that broad way which leads to destruction. We need to realize the need to help them get back in formation. The need for them to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life. And brethren, we need to understand the need for us to always seek to stay in formation. To always seek to stick with those who are headed where we want to go. When I think about that, I cannot help but to think about Hebrews chapter 10. And then turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles there to Hebrews chapter 10. But here in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse number 24, the Hebrews writer said, "And let us consider one another." Why? Well, notice, "in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is in the manner of some, but exhorting one another." Think about that. Again, we need to be mindful of the need to take advantage of every opportunity we can to come together. To come together, to consider one another, to stir one another up for love and good works. To encourage one another to stay the course, to keep on keeping on. To help one another get to where we want to go. Think about that. And let us be a people who benefit from the mutual edification and help of one another. Let us not only be willing to give it, but let us be willing to receive it. And let's take advantage of it, realizing the benefits of it. Brethren, there are many valuable lessons that can be learned from God's creation. Therefore, as we have looked to the birds of the air this morning, let's consider and apply these valuable lessons that we can learn from geese. And let's seek to strengthen our relationship with one another, which, when properly applied, will ultimately make this local church at Belleville a stronger church and a congregation that is pleasing to God. Maybe there is one here this morning who has not yet submitted their lives to God and His will. You can be added to the flock of God this very hour, for you have heard the word of God. And if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sin. You can turn from sin and turn to God. You can confess Jesus Christ before men. And you can be baptized this very hour for the remission of your sins. And you too can have that hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Maybe there's one here this morning who has already submitted their life in obedience to the Lord and His will, but you've not been faithful. Maybe you've gotten out of formation. Maybe you've stepped aside from that straight, narrow path that leads to life and got on that broad way which leads to destruction. You're encouraged to repent of your sins. You're encouraged to confess them to God and to ask Him for His forgiveness. You're encouraged to get back on that straight and narrow path, to get back in formation this very hour, while you still have the opportunity to do so. And if you'd like to enlist the prayers of the saints on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this morning who'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever that need may be, once you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front while we stand and sing the song and act the selection.